We're going to turn our Bibles this evening to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, we're going to read a few verses here. Matthew 25, a few verses together. And just before, as you're turning to it, as David said this morning, I want to say to the session and to the elders and to the congregation a big thank you for your kindness has been shown since we took a step of faith as a family and went forth in the Lord's call into college. For your kindness and your words and your prayers and on your financial giving. We appreciate it with all our hearts. And saying that to the elders and to the session and also to the congregation publicly tonight. Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading from the verse 1 here in the scriptures tonight. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were wise took their lamps and took no oil in them. They were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil in them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While their bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Amen. And the Lord will bless in the reading of his word for his wonderful and dear namesake. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we ask thee as this meeting goes forth, we pray that thou would bless this word to our hearts. We pray, Father, that thou would pierce even the hearts of men and women tonight, that souls may be saved. And Father, may there be people in this meeting tonight that are like Samuel, calling upon Christ at his bedside, calling upon Christ when they're needed, when Christ calls, when Christ whispers upon their voice, or their ear, they call upon him. "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." Pray, Lord, for this message tonight that thou would help us to preach with power, that thou will draw aside to us, that there would be a stillness in this meeting, that the speaking voice of God would go forth, that man would not be seen, except Jesus only. Bless our hearts, we pray thee. Undertake for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I go any further in this message, there's something that's been by my heart. This last couple of days, I've been thinking about it, and I thought, should I say this, or should I not go forward? So maybe we think I heard a few months ago, it was about a preacher. But a man who was a Christian came to see a preacher one day and says, he says, "Preacher, would you go and see my son?" Before I say anything further, this is something for every mother and father in this house. He says, "Could you go and see my son? He's wayward. He's into the world. I can't get him to talk to me, or I can't get him to speak to me. He's gone deep into the world and just as if we've lost touch." He says, "I want you to go and see my son." Peter says, "Certainly, I'll go and see him. Does he want me to come?" He goes, "No. He doesn't know. He doesn't know that I'm talking to you at this minute. But I need you to go and see my son." The preacher said these words: "Did you play with him when he grew up? Did you play football with him when he was growing up in the house? Did you play games with him? Did you do other things with him as he? And did you talk with him?" The father says, "But here, preacher, I asked you to go and see my son. I didn't ask you, did I play with my son? I want you to go and see my son." The preacher said, "But did you play with him?" The man, getting frustrated, wondered what the preacher was saying. And asked him, "But go and see my son." He says, "Certainly, I will go see your son, but you need to reach them when they're young. If you don't talk to your son when they're young, if you don't talk to them when they're growing up, if you don't play with them and do things with them, how do you expect them to talk to you when you're older?" He says, "You must Talk to your son, brother. If you want to reach your son when he's old, you must reach him when he's young. The man was broken at heart. He knew and realized exactly what the preacher was saying. And for mothers and fathers this evening, and me included, I'm not excluding myself from this, we must take time for our children. Speak to them. Talk to them. So then they will be with you when they're older. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he's not apart from him. But what do you do when you're talking to a child? You show them love. Show them a love that you have. And it's not only love for a child, but let the child know that you're saved. Let the child know that you love God. If you show the child that you love them and show the child that you love God, then they can be won for Christ. I just thought I would say that. It's something to my own heart, and I'm meaning it to myself is why I'm saying it. Sometimes we find with different things, we find a lot of things in our mind, or we're stuck with time, even for ourselves in college. But I pray that would even be a prayer of my own heart. I would start doing that properly. That I would look to my children and play with them more often and talk to them more often. That they would all know their father and their mother's Savior. Win them when they're young. I heard also a story of a man who was a king of ancient times. And this king decided to find out who would be his most, his most loyal person within the kingdom. So the king went and put a boulder in the middle of the most busiest road. One that their carts and their horses and the people walked past so much, they hadn't got the cars and lorries and trucks as we had. The king put the boulder, got his guards, they put a boulder in the middle of the road, and he went and hid. But the king, when he went and hid, he found that the people who were coming past were his courtiers, the merchants, the officers within his kingdom. And each one of them murmured about the king. Says, that king is useless. The king should have got his guards to come and look after this. Get this place, get this removed. And the king heard all the murmurings of everything else. And then there came a man. Everybody was passing by it. They were walking around it. And there came a man who is in the story is a poor man. All he came with was what he had in his hand. He had food for his family. He came across the boulder. He could have done likewise like everyone else done. But he stopped. He set down his food. He went forward. He rolled up his arms. Pushed the boulder as hard as he could. And put his back to it. And pushed it as hard as he could. Just like us, we should be putting our back to the work of God, folks. But he pushed it and pushed it until all of a sudden the boulder started to move. And went off to the side of the road. He was starting to walk back when he just noticed in the middle of the road where the boulder had sat was a purse or a wee bag. Inside the bag was gold, coins, and a wee note from the king saying whoever moved the boulder would receive these coins. There was two things noticed here and two things that learnt. The king learnt who was the most reliable subject within his kingdom. And the poor man learned this, and I'm going to say it twice. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve on his or her condition. Every obstacle presents an opportunity to improve in his and her condition. We tonight in this meeting are in a gospel service. Sin is the obstacle. The opportunity is Christ. The devil puts many obstacles within our way, but tonight we can overcome that obstacle by coming to Christ. We have a parable which is before us in this chapter. A parable which many persons know in this meeting. This is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Christ used this passage of Scripture to teach the Jewish people something about heaven in a way which they knew themselves. They knew about the wedding feast. It was something that they had learned and they had been maybe part of at times. And they knew all about what Christ was talking to them. And immediately I think each one of us should, as we look at this portion of Scripture, we find that God measures us. He measured these people here. God measures us, every one of us. In this meeting, for the Christian, he measures us for our faith with God. Our faith in Christ, not just at the beginning, but also right through until the end. But for everybody. One thing is for sure, that not one of us are going to be judged for the person sitting beside us. But we're going to be judged for everything that we do, which is in ourselves. What God does is God draws to each every one of us the possibility of salvation. He reveals to us this, our hearts are sinful. You know, the scriptures say in Jeremiah, 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked above all things. Who shall know it? We don't know it as ourselves that we are unsaved, but Christ reveals to us. He says, we're sinful men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he gives us free grace to come to him. There are 10 virgins, as we've mentioned in this portion of Scripture. 5 which are wise, 5 which are foolish. And these people are waiting for the bridegroom to come. And as they wait for the bridegroom to come, so must we wait on the coming of the Lord. And as we break into this portion of Scripture this evening, we'll see Christ right through it. But believers, I want to say one thing. Maybe you know this parable off by heart. Maybe you've read it often in your Bible study at home. Maybe you've heard it often preached before. Maybe you've looked at it yourself and you think, well, it's going over the same stuff again. I heard a preacher once saying, I've nothing new, but I pray it's fresh. And I pray tonight that is fresh message tonight. But I want to say something to you, brethren. I want you to prayerfully weep. I want everybody, all Christians in this meeting, to pray. Pray for the unsaved. Why? Because as these 10 virgins in this portion of Scripture, there were 5 wise and 5 foolish. There may be one person that sits beside you in this meeting tonight, and they could be exactly like that. Them 5 foolish people. And they could be outside salvation. They may be outside the grace of God. And we must pray tonight. We must weep in our hearts tonight that much preparation will be done upon the hearts of men and women, young people, that they would receive Christ today. But I want to speak on the subject tonight of being ready when the bridegroom cometh. Parker spoke a song, Been Ruined Ready. And I pray that it has pierced your heart already as we look at this portion of Scripture today. Let's go to verse 6 here if we want to read it together, if we could, if possible. It says here, at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And we see here that we must prepare to meet him. We're going out to meet him. We must have something prepared for us to go out to meet him. Heaven is a place where we have to gain. And we must call upon the Savior if we are ever to gain our place within heaven. We must trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus to trust and if we trust and obey. But trust and obey. We must call upon Jesus as our own and personal Savior, because God commands us that we must make preparations for heaven. Every Christian person within this meeting knows. Maybe you're an unsaved person tonight, and you maybe know yourself that you must make preparations if you're ever going to get heaven. But I'm sure if I went out through the meeting tonight and spoke to every single person and said, would you like to go to heaven? Nearly everybody would say, yes, I would love to go to heaven. I don't want to go into hell. I want to be in the place which is called heaven of paradise. Everybody likes also, people like to have, don't like a hardship in our lives, we like to have it as we're an easy life. But there's probably hardly any unsaved people in this meeting tonight would ever want to talk about being lost and going out into a lost eternity. But in this passage before us, you'll find it very much mentioned. But people being lost and being locked out and being turned away, that they're not coming to meet with the bridegroom. And I want us to look at this meeting, this message tonight. I want us to look and see that we need to be prepared to get into the wedding feast. We must be prepared to go, prepared to have everything ready so that we are able to go within the wedding feast. There are 10 virgins mentioned. They're waiting to be attendants in a wedding feast. They're gathered to go along to the wedding feast along with the bridegroom and along with the other guests that are upon the wedding. But there is a few stipulations that they must do before they go to the wedding. First one is that they had to make preparations to be ready. Verse 2 says, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Verse 3 breaks through and tells us, and they that were foolish took their lamps and no and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil with their vessels and their lamps. See, they didn't know how long they're going to be there. They didn't know how long they're going to be waiting, but there was five that took the extra oil, so if they were going to be the extra time, they were going to be ready when the time came. And the five wise checked to make sure that they had enough oil. But the foolish, they had oil in their lamps. They thought, well, I'm okay. I've got oil here, and this oil will gather me through, and I'll be okay. But they didn't realize, they didn't think about the stipulation that was required. But also, the other stipulation was that they must come at the right time. They weren't to sit away in some house and half an hour away, and whenever the call came, they had to come running. And they were running to catch up with everybody. No, they had to be ready. They had to be ready at the right time. See, everyone in this area that wanted to go to this wedding feast was waiting upon this cry. They were waiting for the cry at the appointed time to be shouted out, that they would go along, that they would get their lamps primed, that they would get their lamps lit up, and they would carry on with the procession to the wedding feast. But they must have been ready for the wedding feast, just like each and every one of us. The Bible tells us that if we're not saved, if we haven't accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we'll go out in a lost eternity. Whenever Christ comes and when the roll is called up yonder, I tell you something, I'll be there. But let me ask you the question in this meeting tonight, gathered around in this meeting, will you? Will you be gathered when the roll is called up yonder? Will you be there? You see, there is appointed time. And so it says, the passage of Scripture before us in verse 6 tells us, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And when they were all told to come, they had waited for such a long time to be able to go to the wedding feast. They waited a long time for the bridegroom to come. They needed to go straight away. But verse 10 tells us at the very end that not everybody did. It says, they which were ready went in, the door was shut. Not everyone went in. And that makes me think of that portion of Scripture just over the page, Matthew 24 and verse 40. Where it tells us that then two shall be in a field. One shall be taken and the other left behind. And that's so it was with these 10 virgins. Five were allowed to go into the wedding feast because they were ready. But there were five that were set outside. And there were five that missed out. Is there someone in this meeting tonight which are like one of those five? Yeah, you know people that are ready for heaven. But you're simply missing out. And you're missing out in coming to Christ. But before us there is a wedding feast. It is imminent that it was about to come. Everyone that was going to be in attendance had to have a burning lamp. They had to have their lamp primed and ready to go. And if you had no lamp, then you would not be accepted. It'd be like if you were someone who was crashing the wedding feast. Someone that was not welcome at all. They were not asked to come to the place. And they kind of sneaked in from the back or sneaked in some other way. What would happen? You'd be turfed out. You wouldn't be allowed to get in. And you'd be taken out from the doors, set outside, and the doors were closed. And so it was here. There was people that were ready to go in. And they went in. But the five that were not ready to go in, they were left outside. And as it says at the very end of verse 10, the door was shut. But they were told in verse 3 and verse 4 that there was stipulations for being in attendance. They had to be ready. They had to have their oil checked. They had to have enough oil if they were going to get in to the wedding feast. They were maybe going to be waiting there for a long duration. And what if the lamp was to go out? What would they do? They couldn't go along in the wedding feast. So they had to get enough oil to be there. But only 5 of the 10 that were mentioned took enough oil when they went out. You know, they needed light. It says in one of these things here, Jesus is the light. And you need the light within your life. Let me ask you a question tonight again. If the bridegroom came tonight, where would you be? Would you be stepping out with the bridegroom, or would you be standing back and sitting banging on the door and crying with tears and saying, I want in? but you can't get in because you're lost. You know, we all need Christ. We need to receive Christ as our own personal Savior. We need to be saved, not just be a Christian. That Christian word is mixed up within this country and this time of the world. But we need to be saved, be born again believers in Jesus Christ, that we are ready for heaven. We need to have our preparations for heaven. And if you haven't got preparations made for heaven, I pray tonight from the depth of my heart that you would call upon Jesus Christ to be your own and personal Savior. And there were 10 virgins, 5 which got enough oil, 5 who didn't. But may I make it abundantly clear tonight that the oil was freely available for every one of them. The oil was there, but it was the case that only 5 of them were partaking of the oil. They went and got the oil, but the other 5 didn't bother at all to go and get it. For whatever reason, I don't know. But they didn't make the effort to get enough oil for their lamps. But without a doubt, I'm sure each one of the people had good intentions. They wanted to go. They all went out. They took themselves in the right direction. They took themselves to the right place. They wanted all to see the bridegroom. They wanted to go along with the bridegroom to the feast. Some sort of effort was made. It was like they were putting on a great show. But they were outside. And men and women, and maybe in this meeting tonight, are exactly the same. We have set out our stalls where you're going to the meetings, the Sunday services, and you're there. You're sitting along with God's people and you've got good intentions. And you know who you are, but you're still outside of Christ. You're missing that one ingredient. And what is that agreement? It's salvation, being sure-footed upon the road that leads towards heaven. And will you be ready when the bridegroom comes? Likewise, there were 5 here, as we mentioned, that were needed to be prepared. There were 5 who were trying to get their go their own way to be prepared to go to heaven. They were 5 who were trying to go their own way to get within the wedding feast. They were dressed up well for the feast. They cleaned up well. They were ready to go. They probably were similar dressed to the people that were there. They looked like them. They acted like them. They were in the same manner as they were. But they weren't ready. Likewise, we have people in the service. Yes, they dress the same, and everybody dresses up on the Lord's day, and you're in the Lord's house, and you're dressed up well. And looking upon everybody in this meeting, you would say, well, they're all dressed well. They must be Christians. But you know you're not. You know what way you stand before God. You know how that you live before God. And the Christian knows that they're saved. We know by the walk that they live and the talk that they do, that they're saved and the love that they have for the Savior. An unsaved person tonight, you can put on a great show. Sure, you can look the part, you can blend in with everybody else. But you need to be saved. You're not prepared for eternity. But remember, it's not just me looking down upon you in this meeting. It's not just the person sitting beside you looking upon you in this meeting. But God looks upon your very heart. And He knows if you're saved or if you're unsaved. For you see, folks, Christ is coming again. He's coming again from the heavens in His glory. And not one of us in this meeting tonight knows the day nor hour when Christ will come. But the Father knoweth. And when He comes, I pray that you're ready to go. But verse 6, as we've looked here, there's a cry that goes out. A shout to go, shout to each one of them that are prepared to go. A shout that goes out to them to come. The bridegroom is ready to come. He shouts for us to come. And He shouts here, and the people that were ready got up and they went. But verse 8 tells us that not everyone was ready. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Not everyone was prepared, as we've read. 5 had no oil. They needed light to guide them upon this procession. They needed to have light within them to be in the procession. They needed light within their lamps to go carry on upon this way upon to the wedding feast. But the 5 that were prepared went in. And the other went out the wrong way at the wrong time. And they missed out Jesus, as we said, is the light of the world. He is the one that guides the Christian's pathway. He sticketh closer than a brother. He is that lamp that guides our feet and a light onto our path. And tonight the offer goes forth that the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Be prepared. Don't wait till it's too late. For the Bible says in Amos 4 verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. And I think of those words as Agrippa said, and King Agrippa said in Acts chapter 26, where he said, almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. But I pray there be nobody in here who would say, almost I came, but I'm unprepared. Let us look at this, the verse 5 of the scripture. And we'll see that they went to sleep. It says, and the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. In their waiting, they became tired. They became weary, and they slumbered, and they slept as they waited for the bridegroom to come. The night was pushing on, and darkness was, the light of day was going to the end, and darkness was coming upon the land. And they began to sleep and slumber. Yes, they had positioned themselves in the right position to meet with the bridegroom. They had went to the right area that the bridegroom was going to come upon, and the procession. But some of the lamps had a problem. Their lamps had begun to go dim. Their lamps had begun to go out. And they looked to other people that had gone. They had slumbered and slept, and it became unnoticed to them themselves that something different was upon them. They were different than the other ones. The other ones were prepared. But they went. And they weren't. And their light was beginning to go out. And as they slumbered and slept, this happened. It is like this place tonight. People have placed themselves in the right position to hear God's word. They have placed the right position along with God's people. And it's good for you to be here. And I praise the Lord that if you're unsaved, that you are here. But I trust that you would not be a person tonight that would slumber and sleep. That you would not be a person that would say, would just yawn themselves to what God has to say to them. But that you would wake up before it is too late. For the Bible, the scripture tells us in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the spirits not always strive with man. Maybe you sit in the meeting tonight and you say, but those are scary words. I tell you, they're scriptural. And you can take the comfort in knowing that even though God puts upon these words, upon the scriptures, those words are comforting heart, words to hearts today. Why? Because it says the spirits not always strive with man. But tonight you're in a gospel meeting. You're in the day of grace. God has given you, once again, another opportunity to come to Christ. And will you come? The others around you may sit and sleep and slumber and be slack and they're coming to Christ. I pray that you would not miss out. That you would not tonight just sit back and forget about it all and walk away from home. Walk away from here. And I pray that you wouldn't make that same mistake as you've made many other times. But you would call upon him while he is near. But these people, these 10 virgins slept and the lights began to diminish and each one of them knew what stipulations they were told to do. But verse 5 tells us they slumbered and slept. Only 5 of them anticipated. Done anything to anticipate the matter, what was happening. And as they slumbered and slept, they didn't realize that they were not properly prepared as their light was going out and they began to be too late. What about you in this meeting tonight? Is it that you haven't realized that you need salvation? Is it that you say, I'm good enough person. I think I'm saved. I think I'm going to heaven. If that's your mindset tonight, I pray that you would think of it more urgently. The Bible tells us to prepare. We're not to sleep and slumber and fall into sleep and temptation. But call upon him while you can. For these virgins, 5 had oil within their lamps. The others' lamps were going out. The moment of their awaiting had arrived. Verse 6 tells us, and this shout goes out, prepare ye to meet him. are going out to meet him. And they got, I'm sure each one of them got excitable about their time, because they realized that the time had come to go and meet with their bridegroom. But it's like people today, they're lost still outside of Christ. And they haven't came as yet. Yes, they've been awaiting for his arrival. Unexpectedly, they realize that they are not prepared. And the five foolish virgins immediately turn to the wise, and they turn to them and say, and as it says in verse 8, that their lamps were going out. They asked for more oil. It says, and the foolish said to the wise, give us oil for our lamps or going out. You know, they're met with a disappointing answer. It says in verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Say harsh. But remember, they were all given opportunity to get oil at the beginning. Only five acted upon it. Anyhow, if those other five had have given over their oil, then they would not have enough oil for themselves, that they would not be able to reach the wedding feast themselves. And that would mean that 10 would miss out instead of 5. You know, and all, if you asked a Christian tonight, they would say, I'd wish that none would miss out, but that all would come to Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. You see, these five couldn't share their oil because they needed needed that oil to get to the banqueting table. They needed to be there with the groom. Maybe the other five thought that they had more time. Maybe they thought that during the period of time that they would go to buy some oil somewhere else, they would have time to go and do it. They thought they had more time. And this is a valuable lesson for each and every one of us in this meeting. The good intentions are not always equal to good actions. Perhaps they thought they had more time to fix their, maybe called it, slight problem. We need to learn that we need to get right with God, or else we're not be assured of going when the bridegroom cometh. You know, many people are living this way because they think they have more time. They say they will change their mind. They will change their life another time. They will look at their life and they make themselves turn to Christ at another time. Whenever they think they're ready to go, they'll be more faithful another time. They'll be more prepared another time. And they'll call out to Christ another time. They'll be more generous another time. But one thing that not one of us are sure of, and that is that we have plenty of time. Not one of us are sure. And what a tragedy it would be if someone went out into lost eternity, unprepared, knowing that they need Christ. For in the time of waiting, these people fell asleep and lost out as the procession passed by. But verse 12 brings us another thing. It says the door was shut. First time you read that at the end, it says the door was shut. But verse 12 says, but he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Imagine hearing those words. I know you not. Depart from me, you cursed. So you must be prepared. But the door was shut and they were shut out from this wedding feast. The foolish virgins, they came back from having gone and bought some oil in another place. They had went and they had purchased it from the other place. And they came back to the house and they began knocking upon the door. But the door was tightly shut. Yes, they came to the right place. They came eventually, but they were in the wrong time. And the door was tightly shut. And their cry of admittance was too late. And all those who had lamps within with the procession already to their great feast. And when the five foolish virgins reached, the bridegroom tells them he does not know them. They know him, but he does not know them. He hears them and answers them, but he does not know them. They know him, but they know where he is to be found. They know who to call upon. But they're too late, and he does not receive him. They arrive too late to the banquet. You know, they said, well, we've been through so much. Surely you're bound to let us in. How come we have came to this place? We have spent so much time with other people who are in that banquet already. We've been present with them for long periods of time. Let us in. They're in there already. But they hadn't met the requirements at the right time. And they were outside. You know, they only fell a little short. But in falling a little short, they were still too short. And they were not allowed in. And that's it, folks. A little late. The Bible says, now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because the five were too late, they missed out in coming to the wedding feast. Because they did not come in the accepted time. And you know, time is short. They had an opportunity, but they missed the opportunity that was presented before them. And they waited till it was too late. And then they had no access. And likewise, for everyone in this meeting tonight, we have an opportunity to come to God. An opportunity is presented before us in each gospel meeting that we sit in. You sat week after week and month after month and year after year, but you still haven't come to Christ. And you've put it off. You say another time, but you're not prepared. And you'll be lost if you don't come. And verse 10 shows us that they fell a little short, and says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They were lost outside. So don't wait till the bridegroom cometh. Don't wait till the very hour that he's coming. You say, I must come to Christ. Because by that time, you'll be too late. Person in this meeting, you know your own heart. You know if you're saved or unsaved. And I want to ask you who you're lying on to get to heaven. Are you lying on your good works? The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you relying on your neighbor's salvation? Are you relying on your friend's salvation? Are you relying on your brother or sister or mother or father's salvation? You can rely on no one else's salvation. It's a personal salvation. It's between you and God. It's not between your neighbor and you and God. It's between you and God, and you must come to Him as your own and personal Savior, that you might have Him as your own and personal friend. You know, verse 10 says that they thought that they had more time. They were put outside. And the people were ready, went in, and they were sealed inside. And no, it wasn't because there wasn't enough room inside that they weren't allowed in. Yes, there may have been other abundance of room within the wedding feast, but it wasn't that reason why they weren't allowed in. It's because they didn't come in the right time, when they had the wrong preparations at the wrong time. And the five foolish received an answer. Verse 12. I know you not. They were cast out. Unknown by the bridegroom. There was no room for them. Because he did not know them. And we too must make preparations for ourselves. We too must make preparations for our lives. And that what is to come. As verse 13 tells us clearly, watch therefore. For ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. See, we don't know when the bridegroom cometh. Therefore, if you don't know either, you must come to Christ. You know, for all of each and every one of us in this meeting tonight, have, as it were, been given a lamp, a life, and a soul. But the truth is that there's many people within this meeting tonight are just like those foolish virgins. They have no oil in their lamp. The oil is grace. And God gives us the grace to come to Him. There was a price that needed to be paid, and that price was paid by the shedding of the blood of Calvary, and that was for you and me, if we but come. He paid the penalty that was for our sins, and the penalty was of our sins was death. But God, the Bible tells us, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The oil is grace, and God gives us the grace which is available to those who are ready and willing to receive. There was five that did not receive. And the same is true this evening in this meeting. There is many who have not called upon Christ. Yeah, they may have made a profession, but they know within themselves they're not saved. And they're outside. They need forgiveness for sins. You need salvation. You need eternal life. If you're willing to receive it, it's available. You know, if these five wise virgins did what was required, and they entered into the wedding feast, but there were five who lost out. And I urge people tonight in this meeting to come to Christ. Don't miss the call of God as He calls upon your heart. But if God calls you, be ready. If you hear His whispering voice whispering upon thy ear, come to Him. Don't delay. And I pray that not for my sake, but that God would be glorified, that you would come to Him tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to Thee this evening, we seek Thy face earnestly. Thou hast placed this message upon our heart for a reason. Thou hast placed it upon the ears of the congregation. And Father, we pray as the message goes forth, we pray that Thou would speak on to the hearts of men and women. That men would be drawn to the kingdom, men be drawn to Thee. That men would not just say, what must I do to be saved? But they would say, glory to God in the highest, for they are washed by the precious blood of the Lamb. Save souls tonight, Father, we pray Thee. Bless us and take us to our homes in safety, O God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.